Well, hello. It's coming up to Christmas, right? So we're all getting into our Christmas shopping. Yes? Anybody? So anyone tried some online shopping? Success? Sometimes it turns up broken, sometimes it doesn't turn up. So sometimes it's at the depot down the road that only opens Monday to Friday and you can never get there. Whatever. I was watching telly one night and I saw this ad for this thing called Click Frenzy. And I'm like, that just sort of kind of stirred something in me, Click Frenzy. And it promised that if you signed up to Click Frenzy, you would have access to all these amazing bargains. It was like a MacBook for $15 or a $200 gift card for $1 or all these amazing things. So all you had to do was sign up so that you belonged. And I'm like, something in me wanted to belong to this exclusive club of people that could get these bargains. So, of course, I went on, put all my name and email and everything in. But guess what? It crashed. So this big frenzy about Click Frenzy, it didn't go anywhere. It completely crashed. So it promised the world, delivered disappointment. But it started getting me thinking about, why did I so desperately want to belong to that exclusive group of shoppers that could get these bargains? And there's something in all of us that wants to belong. And sometimes we try to belong to something and we get rejected, or it didn't meet the expectations, we didn't meet the criteria. Has anyone ever felt like that? You might have tried this, and Grace is just going to put this slide up. You might have felt like a sock in amongst a group of animals, or you might have felt like a plant in amongst a group of insects. So we're all familiar with that. Old Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the others. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Like, you can take that down now. It's just a little bit of a fun joke. Something in me wants to be a teacher, you know? So maybe you weren't invited to the party, or maybe you've been applying for jobs and you've been rejected, or maybe you weren't tall enough for the basketball team, or maybe your Facebook likes haven't got, or your Facebook posts haven't got many likes. You don't feel like you've belonged. Sometimes we can even be in a group or with a group, but we don't actually feel like we're part of the group. Has that ever happened for you? So when you feel like that, you can start to feel like you have no value, or what inherently is in you doesn't matter to other people. So it's a cry of all our hearts to belong to something. We crave this sense of belonging. This is where we find our identity and our security. In fact, God created us that way. God created us with that desire to belong. He created us with that desire for relationships and that desire to be part of a family. And he put us in families. And when we're little, our first sense of our identity and where we belong is with our families. So it's in our culture. And I was talking to some Aboriginal friends of mine, and you know, one of the things that's in their culture is when they meet a new person, the first thing they kind of say is, who's your mob? Who's your mob? Who do you belong to? Who's your family? Who's your tribe? Or another way of putting it is, who belong you? Who belong you? And that's what I've actually named this message this morning. Who belong you? So we know that families are important, and I was watching, you know, we love the Specsavers ads, right? So there's one of the Specsavers ads and it's the lifeguard, and I wanted to show it, but didn't know how appropriate it was in church because he only had shorts on. But he swims out into the ocean to save a drowning child, right? You know the ad that I'm talking about. So he comes in and in his arms he's got this child, except it's not a child, it's a seal. should have gone to Specsavers, but he says, where are your parents? So where are the people who are looking after you? Where are the people that you belong to? So Belonging. What is belonging? So to belong is to be in a place or with a person with who we can be ourselves. When we don't have a sense of belonging, we feel insecure. It affects our self-worth and limits us from having a sense of purpose. So, you know, we all are looking, aren't we? We're all craving that. And some of us have not found it in the right places. Some of us have gone looking in the world for that belonging. The only thing is that in the world, most of the belonging is based on a set of criteria, based on a relationship to something. So I was kind of thinking that if I belong to a group of blonde-haired people, that the moment my hair turned grey, like I'd be kicked out, right? It was all I could think of this morning, sorry. But I did remember when I was in year 8 at school, and year 8's one of the hardest years for a teenage girl, I can tell you. So one moment you're in the in-group, and then the next day you wear your hair in a particular style and all of a sudden you're out and you're, you know, sitting by yourself. And it was a particularly hard year, and I remember that kind of, I don't know where I fit in, I don't know how to wear my hair, I don't know what length to wear my skirt, I don't know whether my shoes should be shiny or dirty, I don't know. So I didn't quite get it right. But, you know, permanent belonging needs to look past those criteria. It's more than a relationship with something. It's a relationship with someone. And I just pose these questions, and, you know, maybe afterwards when you're having coffee or if you're in your Thrive groups this week, you might want to even just talk about this. So when or where have you experienced belonging? And what was it about that group of people? What were the qualities that they showed you that gave you that sense of belonging? So what does God say about belonging? And we're going to read here from Romans. If you want to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And it's going to be up on the screen for you. But you might want to pull out your Bible and just highlight this verse or underline it or something. So I'm just going to read from Romans chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also, everyone in this room who sits here right now listening to these words, you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So to all who in Rome and to Thrive Church and those others who believe, all those who are loved by God and called to be his people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So beautiful scripture. I read that about maybe 6 weeks ago. So I've just been meditating on that line that just jumped out, like, you also belong to Christ. You don't have to belong to all those groups that you thought you wanted to belong to. You don't have to belong to Click Frenzy. You don't have to belong to the in crowd. What's important is that you belong to Christ. And so I've been meditating on that. And, you know, it's when you want to belong to something, it's really important that you know what it is or who it is that you belong to, right? So I'm probably going to embarrass her, but one of the girls in church here last week, I asked her, would you like to be on my team? Would you like to belong to the Welcomers team, to the Connect team? And I know she's going to come on the team. But, you know, the first thing she asked me is, well, what's involved? What do I need to do? What's the commitment? And you know what? No one joins a team if you don't know what the team is, do you? And so Paul, he says there you belong to Christ, but first of all he laid down, who is this Christ? Who is this Christ that you belong to? What's so amazing about Christ that you would want to belong to him? So we go back to verse 3 and just let's read that. It says, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David. As to his earthly life, was a descendant of David. And we can even go back further than that. As to his earthly life, was a son of Adam. That is, he has Adam DNA, earthly DNA. He is a human being. So he's a human. He's a human being like us. We can relate to him. He's gone through every trial and every emotion that we as human beings would go through. So he is fully human. But then he goes on to say in verse 4, who the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. So here's Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, with heavenly DNA, with heavenly DNA. He's appointed the Son of God in power by the resurrection from the dead. And we're just going to talk a little bit about DNA. And we're going to show you this beautiful picture up here. It's coming up right now. Look at that. I want you all to go, oh, this is my grandson. Isn't he beautiful? This is Laken. In this picture, he's about 3 months old. So his mum had propped him up in front of the mirror and he wasn't really paying attention. But then she turned those little fairy lights on and it drew his attention and his face lit up and then he was looking at himself in the mirror. And so I'm thinking about what he's looking at when he's looking in the mirror. He's looking at an image of himself. But when I look at that picture in the mirror, I can see my son and I can see my daughter-in-law and I can see my daughter-in-law's father. I think that's mostly who he's going to look like. He's got a little bit of red hair, comes from that rose side. A little bit of me in there, but do you know what? When my dad, Laken's great-grandfather, looked at it, he's like, oh, I can see me in there. And so, you know, when we look at a child, we can see their DNA. We can see what family they belong to. And, you know, even in this church, in this group of people, there's plenty of little mini-me's. There's plenty of little kids running around that you go, oh, I know who that parent is, even if I don't know them. and I was going to name a few, but, you know, I'm sure that you can identify them for yourself. So he's got that human DNA that's revealed in him. But you can take that down now. Thanks, Grace. I'd love to keep it up all day, but, you know. You know, when the Bible says when we are born again, we receive a new DNA. We have the heavenly DNA in us. We're just going to go over and read from 1 Corinthians, and it will come up on the screen as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here Paul's explaining about this earthly DNA that we have as human beings and this heavenly DNA that we receive from God. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and we're going to just read from verse 44. So it says, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, which is Jesus, the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and then after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. He had earthly DNA. But the second man is of heaven. He has heavenly DNA. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. That's us when we're born, when we're conceived in our mother's wombs and born onto this earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, like the picture of the baby who looks like his parents, so shall we bear the image of heaven, of the heavenly man. And so just such a beautiful picture here of Christ, who is fully man. He has that Adam DNA, but he's fully God. He has the heavenly DNA. And not only that, but he imparts that to us. So the earthly man receives life, but the heavenly man, Jesus, he gives life. He's the giver of life. He was there from the beginning of time. And he was proven as the Son of God by the Holy Spirit who raised him from the dead. And you know, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, I mean, there's lots of them, but I love this one. It says, the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. I have heavenly DNA. I am filled now with heavenly DNA. So we are now made in his image. We are part of his family. So when I look at Saren and I can see Moya and I know that she has that DNA, in the same way when we look on believers, when those who have received Christ, we can see Christ in them. So belonging to Christ is more than just knowing about him. It's more than just knowing that he was a man that walked on the earth. It's more than that. It's more than even just believing in him. So belonging to him, it gives us our central purpose. We belong because he called us to himself. And we read this from the NIV today where it says those who belong to Christ. But in some of the versions it says those who are called to Christ, those who he called. He called us into obedience. And we didn't need to fit any criteria. We just come, and no matter what we look like, what our name is, what you know, what we can do, our talents, it doesn't matter. None of that matters to him. He welcomes us no matter what. We're now part of his family. So belonging to him becomes part of who we are, and it influences every part of our life. And I was thinking about, how do you know that someone belongs to a team? Like, it gets pretty obvious, right? So I thought Brad was going to be here, but he's out with the kids today. You know, we know he loves the Newcastle Knights. So let's think of a Newcastle Knights player. So you know that that football player belongs to the Newcastle Knights the first moment you see them because they're wearing the jersey. You know that they don't belong to the Rabbitohs because they're not wearing green and red. They're wearing red and blue. So we know where someone belongs by what they wear. You know, if you're in the surf club, you've got a uniform. If you're in any sport team, you have a uniform. You can even tell a businessman because he's wearing a suit. Or, you know, you can tell by what we wear. And, you know, even as believers, God tells us what we should be wearing. And in Galatians and again in Romans, Paul's telling the believers, he says, put on or clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Live like he does. Do what he does. Live in that image. The next thing that we do that people can tell what team we belong to, so that footy player, they have a whole different language. And, you know, I'm probably going to get this wrong because I'm not a footy player, but, you know, they talk about tackles and tries and metres gained and, you know, goal kicking and the angles of the goal. So they start talking about all these things that are kind of meaningless to a computer geek, you know. It's the language that they use. And, you know, as believers, we're also known by what we say, what comes out of our mouth. And in James, it talks about, it says, can something pure and impure come out of the same spring? But for us, let's what comes out of our mouth be pure, out of a pure spring that's in our heart. And you know, one day, I think it was last year, I was at the gym and, you know, this girl came to the gym and she was just there for a short period of time and she used to get on the recliner bike and that's all she did, got on the bike and rode the bike. So because, you know, the gym, you talk to people, so, you know, so I kind of got chatting to her, not anything particular, just like, how you're going, what you're doing at the gym, found out that she was there because she loved riding bikes, but she'd fallen off her bike and broken her shoulder, so couldn't ride her bike. And so she was training. So that was all it was. And then do you know what? About maybe 6 months or a year after that, she came here. She came here to church. And I met her here and was just chatting like, oh, I remember you. I remember you at the gym. And you know, she said to her, so it was something really interesting. She goes, oh, yeah, I thought you were a churchy. That's the way she put it. And I'm like, so what was it about what I said or what I did that made her think that? And we should all be like that. So I'm not bragging on myself, but it's because all of us, we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in us. What we say and what we do marks us as belonging to Christ. And lastly, what we do. So you can wear the uniform and you can talk the talk, but I tell you, if you can't pass that football, you're not on the team. So we can't, I love what Glenn said, he goes, you can't bluff God. How awesome is that? You can't bluff him. And, you know, he said in Ephesians, it says, be imitators of Christ. And again in James, it says, be doers of the word. Be doers. So this is how we know you belong to Christ. So it's so important that we know who we are and what we have, so that when, and this is the whole purpose of this message today, is because our identity is in Christ. And, you know, there's so much power in that, that the enemy wants to steal that away. And we are often fed lies, you know, that say, like, you're not worth anything. You're not valuable. You don't matter. That even you believe in Christ, but that doesn't, there's no power in that. That doesn't really mean anything. It's just a crutch. Or there's so many lies that come this way that would actually undermine the power that we have in belonging to Christ, because he's achieved everything on the cross for us, that death and that resurrection that took away our sin. But not only that, he was seated at the right hand of Father. And it talks about everything that he, his inheritance. We are joint heirs. We are joint heirs with what Christ achieved. So it's so important that we declare it. So what I wanted to do today was just talk to you about a drill. So I was thinking about, you know, the fencing. So they've got their swords and they'll come up with their competitions. And so in that competition, they'll be fighting with another person. But before they do that, 100 times, 1,000 times, whatever, they're going to be practicing their drill. So they'll have their sword in their hand and they'll be like that, you know, doing their drill and whatever else a fencer will do. All right? So they're just going to practice it with no one there, so that it becomes part of their muscle memory, part of what they do. It just comes naturally to them. And then the day comes when they're in the battle. The day comes when it's really on and it's no longer a drill. This is the real deal. But when they're faced against that opposition and they go to do this, it happens naturally. So I'm going to give you a drill. And this is to sharpen the word that's in you, that reminds you of who you are in Christ, so that it's in you, so that on the day that you need it, it will come out naturally. And I couldn't actually get this up on the screen, but I'm going to read these out, and these are declarations of our identity. And every single one of these is a scripture. I can't tell you the exact scriptures, but I've written them down. It will often say in the Bible, it'll say, you are a child of Christ. But do you know what? I've changed it so it says, I am. Wherever it said you are, I went, I am. So I am a child of Christ. I am a friend of Christ. I am unified with God and one spirit with him. I am a member of the body of Christ. I am an accepted child of God. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I am forgiven and delivered from all my sins. I am a temple of God and his Holy Spirit lives within me. I am a branch of the true vine. I abide in him and bear much fruit. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. I am God's workmanship. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I am free from condemnation in Christ. I am born of God and the evil one cannot harm me. I stand firm in Christ. He set his seal of ownership on me. I am filled with a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. So how good are these? And so I just really encourage you to go and find these. If identity is something that that the enemy has been attacking you with, or it's like, oh, I really need to remind myself of those things, go and write these down and declare them over yourself. Speak them out. And I'm just going to put up this scripture now. It's also a declaration, and this is from 1 Peter. But I am a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, a holy people belonging to God, that you might declare, and speak out loud the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. And just as I come to a close and the team can join me up here, I'm just going to tell you a story. So this story is a made-up story, and it's about a man, an old man who was a master craftsman. So everyone knew him, and because he was old, they just called him Papa. So Papa and his son Joshua every day went to their workshop and made things. They made furniture and household items, things out of wood that they would sell. And everyone would come from far away to buy these things because, you know, that it was such good quality. And they worked really hard. But one day, Papa thought to himself, you know what? I really want to make my son Josh a special gift, not just one of these chairs or something. Like every day we're doing this, so I want to make him something special. So I know he loves music, so I'm going to make him a guitar. So he laboured over this guitar and he made it out of beautiful timbers and inlaid it with precious gems and polished it and lacquered it till it was glossy and it looked beautiful. And then came the day where he'd finished making it and he put the strings on. And he was so excited to hear the sound that would come. So he put the strings on and he gives it to Josh, his son, and his son is just overwhelmed with this generous gift. It's so beautiful. And immediately he starts to play it and this beautiful music comes out of it and it inspires him to sing. So he starts singing with this guitar and there's so much joy there that even that Papa even begins to dance. They're singing and dancing with joy over this guitar. And so from then on, after work every day, when Josh got home, he would pull out his guitar and he would play that guitar and he would tune the strings so that it always had a sweet sound. And as he was strumming, you know, it kind of polished the timber so it looked beautiful and clean. It never had a chance for dust to gather on it because he used it. And he developed this beautiful relationship with guitar. Well, one day, a thief broke into the house and stole the guitar and took it far away, went to a pawn shop. And so for many years, Josh pined for this guitar because it was a precious gift that his father had given him and he had this special relationship with that guitar. So he never stopped looking. He went looking from store to store, even looked on Gumtree, whatever, till he found it. But he couldn't find it. And meanwhile, guitar was in a store, a music store, far, far away. And when he came to that store, he got put up on this shelf and because it was so beautiful, everyone admired guitar and were like, look how beautiful guitar is and look at those precious gems and look at that beautiful timber. You know, guitar, it looks pretty special, it's beautiful. And he began to enjoy this admiration and, you know, no one ever noticed me when I was at Josh's house. I was just in the bedroom, in his room. But here I'm out here for everyone to see and, you know, it's pretty special. But there was a price tag on guitar and that price tag was so high that not one person who came to the shop ever wanted to buy guitar. So he sat on the shelf collecting dust and that dust started to cover the gems, started to cover that glossy timber finish, started to cover. And then after a while, no one even noticed because he was so covered in dust that no one paid attention and he got bumped around and knocked off the shelf and got a few dings and scratches and it was broken. And then the strings started to break. So he could no longer play any music. So everything that guitar thought that he had was gone and he was in the back cupboard. Until one day, Josh came into this store and he'd been looking for a long, long time and he asked the store owner, do you have any guitars? And the store owner's like, oh, no guitars at the moment. And then something triggers his memory. He goes, oh, hang on, there's a guitar out in the back storeroom, but you wouldn't want it. It's like all dinged up and broken and the strings don't work or anything. But Josh's like, just show it to me anyway, just show me. And he looks at this guitar and he knows straight away this is the guitar that his father had made for him. But there was a price tag on it. So he had to go away and sell everything that he had to get the money to buy the guitar. He came back to the store and bought that guitar and took it home. And, you know, he washed it clean, washed all the dust off, and then mended all the broken bits, and then oiled all the cracks and the dings, and then put new strings on. And, you know, for guitar, it was like he'd been remade. It was like he'd been born again. He was now loved and beautiful, and he was back home where he belonged. And, you know, this is a beautiful story about Jesus, where God created us to belong to Jesus. But, you know, we got taken to a faraway place, but he never stopped looking for us. He's never stopped looking for us. And if today you're here and you don't know if you belong to Christ, I want you to know that Christ has been looking for you. He's never stopped looking for you. And he's not bluffed by the dust of the lies that you've been fed. He's not bluffed by the dings and the scratches, because he sees the beauty. He sees the gemstones that were put into you when you were created. And, you know, it didn't matter what that price tag was. This is what I know about Jesus, that if that price tag was 10 times more than that, it would never have been too much for him. That price that he paid when he died on that cross, when he died for us, it is an amazing, awesome price that he paid for us. But this is what I know, it wasn't too much. It wasn't too much for him, because we are so precious to him. We are so precious to him. We belong to him. And maybe you do know that you belong to Christ, but you've felt like your beauty has been covered in dust, and that dust is like the lies that tries to disguise your true identity, that tries to unravel what God has put in you. And so I just want to encourage you today, come and let the sun play you. If you're that guitar, let him play you. Let him tune your strings again so that beautiful sound comes out. Let him polish you and get that dust off so that you can see the truth of who you are. And so today, if you want to receive Christ and belong to him, come down the front. Come down and talk to one of us here. And, you know, as we come into Christmas and we're celebrating Christ's birthday, let's remember that he was the Son of Man, but he was the Son of God. And that is so important that we know the significance of that, so that when someone says to you, who do you belong to? Who belong you? You can say, I belong Christ. I belong Christ. So just as we close today, and I'm just going to hand back to Amy, just I want you to remember who you are in Christ, and declare it over yourselves every day, because one day you're going to need it, and you're going to declare those words that you've been saying, and the Holy Spirit's going to come on it, and that sword is going to be so sharp that it'll cut through any lies, it'll cut through anything that comes against you. But you need to have that declaration in your spirit. Amen. Thank you.